And look at verse number 27. There are two types of things that God puts a difference between in verse number 27. And it uses the word things. And what are those things? What's the first type? Verse 27, Hebrews chapter 12. Things that, I'm giving you the first two words, okay, are what? Shaken, okay? And then the opposite at the end of the verse is what? Things which cannot be shaken. This is going to be a rough sermon. If you don't help me out, we're never going to get out of here. All right? So the first thing is the things that are what? Shaken. All right, we'll get it down to one word. There we go. And the second thing is the things which cannot be shaken. All right, good. Now we got it. Let's pray and we'll go home. Now, lots of things will be shaken or have been shaken. Here's a question. You don't have to answer it out loud, please. But have you personally experienced volatility in your life? I think we've experienced volatility in our life. The longer you live, the more things are shaken in your life. Life is a process of sifting. And life is a process of winnowing. You would winnow grain. In the Bible days, and farmers would understand that term. They would take the grain and they would knock it off of the stalk, and they would sift it with a fan or in a screen, and they would get the grain out, and the chaff would blow away, the refuse would blow away. And so life is a process of sifting and winnowing. We get used to things, and we get used to the way things are in our life, and then those things are shaken, and those things are changed. We depend on things, and those things are shaken in our life, and sometimes those things are taken away. Now think about this. Physical mountains are blasted with dynamite, and they can be removed. How many times have we seen a mountain and they start mining whatever it is out of that mountain, and the mountain gets shorter? I've been through Pennsylvania a few times, and they've blasted a hole right in the mountain. They've chiseled a hole, and you can drive your car through there, and they have a highway. Anybody ever been on that one? Yeah, they got a highway going right there. I'm thinking, don't have an earthquake right now. We're all in trouble. I'm in trouble. You might not be. But nobody knows where I am under the mountain. And so they can be changed. You know, it's amazing. You come here to New England, and you see the exits, like even like the Bridge Street exit. They blasted that right out of granite. You see those cliffs, you know, and they have the fences now to hold the rest of the rocks down. And but there used to be just one granite wall there, and they blasted it, and it's been shaken and taken away. The strongest steel and concrete buildings can fall. Wealth can be lost in a moment. You read stories about people during the Great Depression who lost everything they had, and they jumped off of buildings and bridges over losing money. Wealth can be lost in a moment. Power, prestige, authority, they're all flimsy and they're all volatile. One minute you're the king of the hill, the next minute you're nothing. You're just an ordinary person. Things can be taken away quickly. Here's something to hang on to. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Now you've heard that before. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Now, I know what you're saying. Pastor, things have changed in my life in a tremendous way. And they're not the same. Some things are going to change and they're not ever going to come back. Youth. From youth to where you are right now, life became complicated. I can remember sitting there and hearing my pastor preach, and he said, you know, life is a vale of tears. And I thought, well, there's no tears for me, right? I mean, I might have flunked my exam, but that's, other than that, I'm pretty good. I got my health. I got my family, right? Everything's good. I got a job. I had a car. And that was something to cry about. But, you know, I was thinking, well, life is pretty good. I got the tiger by the tail, man. Woo, just swinging him around like that, right? And then something happened. You know, I started getting older. And things started to get shaken. And things started to change. And problems came. And complications came. And people got sick. And people died. And situations got complicated. So life became complicated. Some of you have a spouse and they're complicated. Okay. Listen, we were on the plane going to Chicago, and there was a nice lady, a nice older lady. She wouldn't appreciate that, but she did have black hair, so maybe she dyed it. But she, a nice lady And she's from the South, and she had this accent like that. And so we're sitting on the plane, and she goes, "The plane's going to be pretty full, right?" So I sat next to my wife, you know, has three seats, right? And so she looked at me, and she goes, "If you don't want anybody to sit with you," I can't do her accent very good, but it took her like 5 minutes to tell me her name, right? And she said, "Leave the middle seat open, because if you sit together, somebody's going to sit right there," right? And so I sat over here, she sat over there. I said to the stewardess, the lady, right, I said, "I don't even know this lady." And she looked at me, she goes, "Well, she's very beautiful. You should introduce yourself." That was pretty funny. I like this lady. And she didn't give me extra peanuts or anything, but it was good. Now, if you have a spouse, they're complicated. And I know your husband's complicated, right? Your wife is complicated. Our health and the health of our loved ones deteriorates. Some of us are parents. Children change your life, don't they? I mean, you bring them home from the hospital, and I thought I was pretty smart until I put in my first car seat. And I'm like, this is really challenging. Everything I could do, right? I get the ball bearing. Remember those? And I'm stepping on the thing. We'll help you hook that up. You can't leave the hospital until you get that figured out. And that's why the car's still there. But kids are complicated. They change your life. And so life changes, and things are shaken. Our health, the health of our loved ones deteriorates. Sometimes institutions we trust are shaken. Our careers are shaken. You know, sometimes churches change and we are shaken. We can be shaken in mind and our confidence can crumble. An all-encompassing thought. Verse 27 of our text, Hebrews chapter 12. And it says, "And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are what? Made. Those things which cannot be shaken may remain." An all-encompassing thought is this: everything that is made can be shaken. Everything. I've touched on some of them. We're familiar with some of them. Surely we've had a few of those things in each of our lives that have been shaken. One day, everything made will be shaken. You're in Hebrews. Look at chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. Hebrews chapter number 1. Did you know that it's scriptural for the men of the house to make the coffee? Hebrews. Okay. I know. You were thinking something else, right? Hebrews. Okay. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 10. "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hand." Is it made? Yes. Who made it? God did. So God made the earth and laid the foundations. He created everything. "They shall perish." Guess what? It can be shaken. It's made. God made it. "They shall perish. But thou remainest. And they shall all wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." So the Bible here says that the world and everything that God made can be folded up. You know, the other day I had a suit and I was preaching, and I sweated that thing right out. I don't know if that's a good word, but and I took that thing and I threw it on the floor when I got home, and I said, "I got to go to the dry cleaners," and I bring that to the dry cleaners. But you take a vesture and you fold it up and you kind of throw it over there. And God says one day the whole world is going to be like a vesture, and God says He's going to crumple it up and throw it over there, and it's going to be changed. That's something that God made. Look back to Revelation chapter 20, last page in your Bible. One day, everything that is made will be shaken. Revelation chapter number 20, the last page of the Bible, just about here. And verse number 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." And there are many other verses, but the Bible teaches at the end of the world, the entire world and everything in it will pass away. The heavens. Think about that. The sun, the stars, the planets, the galaxies. They all fled away. One day the whole world as we know it, and everything that we see up in the sky, and everything that astronomers have seen and sent the telescope out, and things that they can't even see yet, they're all going to be destroyed, and they shall be changed. All of it will be shaken. The sky will yield stars as a fig tree is shaken of her untimely figs, and they'll come crashing down in the tribulation. One day everything will absolutely be destroyed. Here's a question. Why do we get so concerned about laying up treasures on earth? Because it will all be shaken to nothing. All of it will be shaken to nothing. Oh, I believe in preparing for the future. I believe in taking care of your family. I think we ought to do that. But we get so caught up in laying up treasures upon earth. No matter how careful we are to protect what we have, one day all of it will come to nothing. Why? Because it's all made. There are things that are made by God and created, and they will all be gone. There are things that are made by man, and they will all be shaken and gone. Look at verse 28. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 28. Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Every kingdom of man will be removed. The kingdoms, the rulers, the dynasties, the dictators, and the political powers will all be shaken. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. They will cease. They will vanish. And they will be vanquished by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, if you go to some places in the world today and you'd ask them, hey, what about such and such dynasty, right? What about the Ming Dynasty? What about Alexander the Great? What about the Roman Empire? They look at you and say, well, there are the ruins. Look at the Colosseum. You go to, ancient Babylon. There's nothing there, just sand and stones. Palmyra, you go and you walk around the ruins. One day, all that we see and all that we know will be conquered. Verse 9, Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him, Jesus Christ, a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day every king will bow to the King of Kings. One day every king will be vanquished and Jesus Christ will be the ultimate supreme and ultimate only king for all eternity. All the kingdoms will be gone. Amen. All the kingdoms and dynasties and dictators and political powers will all be shaken. Jesus Christ will be the mountain that fills the world and he will be King of Kings for eternity. Now, what are those things in life which cannot be shaken? If our verse says that things can be shaken, everything that God made will be shaken, the earth will be shaken, the heavens will be shaken, everything that man makes will be shaken, what are some things that cannot be shaken, as it says in verse 27? What are those things that shall remain? Hey, that's where our focus ought to be today. Here's the focus of our thoughts. We can focus our time and energy and effort on those things which can be shaken, or we can say, I'm going to focus my eyes upon that which cannot be shaken. What are some things that cannot be moved? Instead of looking at the things that we can see are moved. So here's the thought. If the more things change, the more they stay the same. I was thinking about that because I thought this. The more things change and are shaken, the more I need to look at those things which can never be shaken, because now I can be encouraged. If I'm looking at, hey, what happened to my portfolio? Boom, it got shaken. Oh, I can't believe that. Well, the more things change, the more things stay the same. So I need to focus on those things. Hey, what's the first thing? I'm glad you asked. It's God. God cannot be shaken. God will remain. We read that in the verse once already. God will remain. So the more the shaken things are moved, the more we must look to the Lord. I need to look to something that's not ever going to be shaken. As my world falters, as my world crumbles, as the situations in my life and my own life are frail and human and faltering, I need to say, okay, I've got to stop looking so much at my health and my wealth and the things I've made and the things around me and the buildings and the situations and the relationships and the people that are dying and getting sick. And I need to say, okay, those things, I love those things, but I love the things that are not shaken more. So I need to look to those things. I look more to God. Chapter 12, we're in Hebrews again, right? It was the focus of Christians before us. Look at the beginning of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto whom? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So the Bible says here that Christians have been looking unto Jesus for generations and centuries and thousands of years as their world crumbles, as Paul is writing that and he's about to die for Christ. He could get discouraged and say, look at all the things I've lived my life for, and they which be of Asia have turned against me. Hey, look at Hymenaeus and Alexander. Look at all these people, and they're disrupting everything that's been going on. I can't believe it. Demas hath forsaken me. He did mention that. But he said, you know what? Those things are shaken. And yet I'm looking unto Jesus. He can never be shaken. So where's my focus going to be? Up there. On the things which cannot be shaken. God needs to be our dwelling place. Right in the middle of the Bible in Psalm chapter 90. Some of you have memorized this chapter. It's a good one. They're all good. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God has always been here. God is here now, and God will be here after all those things are gone. After the mountains are gone, God will be here. After the buildings are gone, God will be here. After I'm gone, God will be here. God is from everlasting to everlasting, and he never changes. What should we do? Focus on those things that cannot be shaken. God cannot be shaken. God is not impressed. And God never changes. What's something else that cannot be shaken? Just several things this morning, maybe four, maybe 20. All right. Psalm 119, right in the middle of your Bible. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Psalm 119. The longest chapter in the Bible, and it's all about the Scripture. The exception of two verses, Scripture is mentioned in every verse. And to make up for it, the ones that don't have it, some of them have it more than once. Look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord. What's the next two words? Thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Hey, you can shake a lot of things, but you cannot shake God, and you cannot shake the word of God. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It always was. It always will be. So the more things change, the more I say, you know what? I am going to focus on the word of God. Everything that God has done through his word. He spoke and the world came into existence. He spoke and things were created. All that God wants us to know about himself, he put in nature and he put in his word. Nature will be shaken. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Listen, you can't look up in the sun and into the sky and the stars and not say, hey, somebody made that. You wouldn't walk outside and see a car on the sidewalk and say, well, that car evolved. They must have put a bunch of parts. Where'd they come from? They must have put a bunch of parts all together. Boom, blew it up with dynamite. And look, I got this car out here. No. They had a diagram and they had an engineering, a lot of engineers would be out of a job, right? Had an engineering department and they had an assembly line and they had a plant that made the steel and they put all these things together. Hey, we wouldn't look at a house and say, well, that house just, they put a bunch of tinker toys on top of, you know, a firecracker and boom, and here we have a house. That's not how it happened. There's a designer. There's an architect. There's a builder. There's somebody who paid for it, right? They're expensive. And no, of course not. So we look around in the sky, and we look around in the world, and we say, if we looked up and saw the stars and the planets in the universe, we would say there's a God who made this. If we look down into the depths of the mighty ocean, and they're still discovering species and animals all the time, and we said, God made that. If we look without at the wonders all around us, the beauty of nature, the animals, the trees, and the plants. If we look within, listen, the human mind is complicated. I mean, you study how the mind works and all the different nerve endings. You study the body's DNA. I mean, that's an incredible study. The strings of DNA that make up all of our composition. We'd say there's a God. But nature can and will be shaken. The rest of God wants us to know about himself. He put in his word. I am so thankful this morning that I have a Bible. I am thankful this morning that I have God's Word. Because when things are shaken, I can run to the Bible and say, I don't understand it. I don't like what's going on. I'm not sure I'm coping very well. But God, here's something that can never be shaken. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It makes a whole lot of sense to a senseless world. God, you can never be shaken. I need to spend more time with you. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And God says, I'm glad you're getting closer. Because I never slumber and I never sleep. I am God. There's no variableness with me. There's no shadow of turning. I am God. I change not. Thank God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can come to the Word of God and it still speaks to me every time I open its pages. I can come to the Word of God and understand that these are words of eternal life. I can understand that it's a living book that the Holy Spirit inspired man to write down these words. And there's not one error and not one inconsistency. The more things change, the more I flee to the Bible. The more things around me are shaken, the more I flee to God and His Word. The Bible is a refuge. Listen, if you're not in your Bible every day, you should be. God will bring things into your life and make you flee to Him. What's another thing that remains? Believers on Jesus will remain. In our text in Hebrews chapter 12, we see that God is speaking to Israel from a mountain. There was fear, there was quaking, there was even death for those who had touched the mountain. We also see in verse number 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to the God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, what's the next word? The mediator, two words, right? The mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of Jesus Christ is mentioned here, sprinkled on the mercy seat in heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid for your sins. He paid for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2, verse number 2. He is the propitiation for our sins and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He died to pay for our sins so that we could have access to God and a place in heaven if we'd receive His payment as our payment. He took His blood. I preached on it a few weeks ago. And the picture was the Passover lamb that the blood was smitten on the doorposts and the lintels of the house. And what God was looking for was the blood applied, not just the blood shed. The blood has been shed on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. Has the shed blood been applied to your life and to your soul? Do you know for sure that Christ is your Savior? Because the Bible says that when things are shaken, only those who believe on Jesus will remain and go to heaven. Those who do not believe on Jesus Christ, the Bible sadly says there is the lake of fire and brimstone, prepared for the devil and his angels. And that's where those without Christ will spend a godless eternity in a Christless hell, falling and burning and screaming. I hate to think about that. Thank God we have a God of love. The Bible says that Jesus is the mediator. Now, a mediator is a go-between. A mediator is someone who takes, like a union has a dispute, right? And so they go get it mediated. And then they cost everybody a lot more money, right? And but they go get the contract mediated. And maybe you had an argument and you want to get a mediator. So you get somebody who is an unbiased person, a third party, and they don't have a stake in it. They don't have a dog in the fight. And they say, okay, let me hear your side. Let me hear your side. How can we bring you together? There is one God and one mediator, go-between, between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God, there's one mediator, go-between, between God and men. We have offended a holy God. Man has offended and sinned against the holy God. And God said, okay, the judgment is death and hell. But I don't want that for you. So He allowed Jesus Christ to mediate between God and men. And He allowed Jesus Christ to pay for our sins by living a perfect life and never owe the penalty and pay the penalty. And now He says, if you will, I've reached up and reached God's hand, and I'll reach down and take your hand, and I will bring you to God. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Has Jesus Christ mediated your sin? Have you accepted His payment as your payment to take you to heaven? He's the only mediator. So believers on Christ will remain, those who have had the blood sprinkled on the mercy seat in the presence of God for their salvation and have received Christ as their only mediator will go to heaven someday. Look what it says in verse 23. Those written in heaven. And to the General Assembly Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, the Bible talks in the book of Revelation extensively about the Lamb's book of life. When you were born, you were put in the book of life, or the book of Psalms says the book of the living. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you're put in the Lamb's book of life, slain from the foundation of the world. That's Jesus Christ. We sing that little song, is your name written there on the page white and fair in the book of God's kingdom? Is your name written there? Thank God in 1971, my name was written there because I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior and take me to heaven. That gives me eternal life. You can have that as well if you'd receive Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ will meet in the holy city, the heavenly Jerusalem. The more things are shaken, the more we need to be with God's people. Hey, the more things are shaken, the more I need to talk to God. The more time I need to spend with God. God, everything in my life is falling apart. They say when you turn 50, the check engine light comes on. Ah, what happened? Parts are in the road behind. Ah, what happened? Boy, the more things get changed in my life, the more I say, God, I need you. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And God says, I'm right here. I've never slumbered. I've never slept. I've never changed. I've never not been keeping an eye on you. I see every sparrow that falls. I count every hair on your head. I love you. Oh, thank you, God. I like spending time with you. I don't like looking around here so much because the sights are shaken up. Looks like everything fell apart back here. And God said, keep looking up here, son. It's going to be okay. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. God, I need to get into your word. I read the newspaper. It's discouraging. I turn on the news. I want to put my shoe through the TV. And I look at it and think, what in the world? The whole world is crazy. And God says, don't worry about it. Get into the book. And you'll see that forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Wow, that's incredible. I never knew that before. I'm still learning things. Hey, I need to spend time with God's people. Because they're the ones who are spending time with God. They're the ones who are spending time in God's book. And iron sharpeneth iron, so the man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We talk about things that are eternal. What's the next thing? 1 Peter chapter 1. Just turn back a little farther in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be received in the last time. Hey, the Bible says if you know Christ as your Savior, then God is your Father. This book is your instruction manual. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ who believed on Christ. And the Bible says you and I have an inheritance when we get to heaven that's incorruptible and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We have an inheritance that awaits us. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt. But lay up for yourselves rather treasures in heaven. Moth doesn't corrupt it. Rust doesn't corrupt it. Thieves cannot break through and steal it. God says it's eternal. Are you making an investment in forever with your life here today? The more things change, the more they stay the same. God, things are changing in my life. Look up here. You'll see nothing's ever changing up here. Hey, get into the Bible and you'll be encouraged. Spend time with God's people and you'll be encouraged and realize you have an inheritance that awaits you when you get to heaven. The more things change, the more they stay the same because I focus on the things which cannot be shaken. What's the first thing that will never be shaken? God. What's the second thing? His word. Number three, those who die in Christ and are alive at the coming of Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 4, will remain present with the Lord forever in heaven. And our inheritance, treasure in heaven, will remain. Why do we look so much at the things which can be shaken? Instead, can I encourage you this morning, look at the things which can never be shaken. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for an opportunity this morning to preach your word and to hear your word preached. Lord, I pray that this morning you would help us to focus on those things which can never be shaken. Lord, man will disappoint us. Lord, I've disappointed plenty of people. But you've never let us down. You can never be shaken. Your word can never be shaken. Our name can never be taken out of the Lamb's book of life. Believers in Christ will live forever in heaven. And Lord, an inheritance cannot be shaken. It's reserved in heaven. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Child of God, we often get discouraged as we look around, as we listen to what's going on around us, as we go through the trials and tribulations of life. But what are you looking at? Are you looking at the here and now? Or are you looking at the things which are eternal? Could I encourage you this morning, lift up your chin a little bit and see God on His throne. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, his life was shaken. I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Isaiah chapter 6. He said, I can look at the funeral and I can get discouraged. I can look at my friend who was my mentor and he's gone. Or I can look to heaven and see God high and lifted up. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Which was and is to come. God has never changed. His word is eternal. His works are forever. Christian, lift up your chin and look to those things which cannot be shaken. This morning, maybe you're here today and say, Pastor, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I need to be baptized. There are several this morning who'd like to do that. Let me encourage you in just a moment. When we stand to our feet, leave your seat, come down one of these aisles. We'll meet you here at the front. You can follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe this morning you don't know Christ as your Savior. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. You say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Things in my life will be shaken, and I'm afraid that if I die in that condition without Christ, they'll be shaken for all eternity. And I'll die and go to hell. And I don't want that to be so. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? I'll see it. I'll pray for you. I don't know Christ as my Savior. I'm concerned about that. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Just a moment, I have an invitation. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'd invite you to leave where you are. Come down the front and meet you with the Word of God. If you're a man will show you that from Scripture. If you're a lady will show you that from Scripture. How you can know for sure you're going to heaven. This morning, if you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you've accepted Christ as your Savior. That's the next step of obedience. It doesn't make you any more on your way to heaven. It identifies you with Christ as your Savior. It shows that you're not ashamed. Maybe you need to kneel here and pray. Maybe you need to talk to God. God, I need to look to you more. I need to get into the Bible more because it can never be shaken. I need to spend more time with the people of God. Maybe I need to go to church consistently. Let's stand to our